So basically, design is not styling, because that's a mistake.
Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast. My name is Pete Everett, and we are at episode 60. Where did the last 60 weeks go? My life. Today, I am talking to the design and branding guru, Pitcher Neri, and we talk about why design is so important for marketing and the thought processes you need to go through for both your own design collateral and that of your clients. Let's dive straight in. Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast. And today, you are joining a conversation with my fabulous guest, Pitcher Neri. Pitcher, it is great to have you on the show.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
No, it's honestly entirely my pleasure. Pitcher and I have known each other online for it's got to be well over a year now, something like, I don't know, a year, 18 months, something like that.
Yeah. And,
but we finally met in person at Lee Jackson's agency transformation event, where we were both talking there. So we got to spend some time in the green room and out for a meal, and it was just a great laugh. And I'm so pleased that you're here on the show. So, Pitcher, do you want to start by just giving you a brief intro to who you are, what you do, maybe what you were doing at Lee's event, and all that kind of stuff?
Yes. So I am a designer. And I am now almost exclusively a designer of digital products, whereas before I came from print, because I'm definitely old enough to have done that. And let's call it mission, it's a big word, but my mission is to bridge the gap between design and all those people who build products, mostly on the web, mostly digital products, but they're not designers. Mm. And if they understood how they can leverage design, they would have a much better time of it, and we would all build a better web. And I've actually realized, so it's any techie, any developer, any marketer, or even designers for print as well, who are now moving to the web, that I've realized that, I guess, a lot of them saying that they really enjoy what I'm doing because it helps them out a lot. Mm. And it's all based on what I had to do to learn how to design digitally, because it's a very, very different experience. It's a very different, obviously design principles are the same, but it's actually not the same way of designing at all, I have found, to my slight shock when I first started doing it. So but now I've learned, so everybody else can learn from me and not make the same mistakes, hopefully.
No, absolutely. And you know what? I've just had a flashback to sitting in that green room at Lee's event when your slides wouldn't work because the font.
And you saved me.
And to get, I was only a cog in a far bigger engine that you know, managed to get all of your slides outlined back into a new presentation in time for your talk. But it was one of those things. It was going to have to be your talk was the one where the fonts weren't going to work on the laptop. I remember.
I know. And I was not going to have it. I was like, I cannot let this happen. It's a talk on branding, for God's sake. So it was you saved me. I could not have survived getting there and realizing that all the fonts were wrong, and all the alignments, especially. I was worried about the alignments. So
it all went absolutely fine, and it was a brilliant talk. And if you're part of Lee's group or part of his membership, then the talks from Agency Transformation are being put in there, so you can get access to those. He's drip feeding them out, so I don't honestly know whether yours is out or not at the moment, but
I don't think so.
I don't think mine's out yet either. So, but they will be. They'll appear in time to come.
Yes.
So, exactly. There's obviously a big synergy between what you've sort of taken as your mission. I like the way you use that word and then acknowledge that it was a big word. Between that and what we've been doing for the past year or so with marketers, which is essentially to equip people that have one area of expertise but don't necessarily understand a bigger picture, or need to be equipped in a sort of larger circle in order to deliver better value for clients.
Exactly.
Now, design it strikes me anyway that design is one of those things that a lot of people in marketing normally come from a kind of copywriting background, and design seems to be one of those things that's just that little bit out of grasp, and therefore they're either a little bit scared to talk about it or they don't talk about it, and it becomes a bit of a hole. So do you just want to start by sort of explaining why is design so important to marketing, and why is having that consistency in your communications, be it for yourself or for your client work, why is that so important?
Well, their talk at Agency Transformation Live was good design is good marketing. Mm-hmm. That's kind of one of my mantras. And the thing with, I have actually been a designer or a creative director in marketing departments. And it wasn't always an easy ride. And which is, it's interesting now because I do so much more marketing and I've become much more marketing savvy than I used to be. And so, I've made my peace with the marketing thing, but I love marketers and marketing and so on. But that's so basically design is not styling, because that's a mistake that when, especially I'm thinking about one specific marketing department that I was part of and being a creative director in, and I won't say where it was, but there is a ringing right now. And basically design is not styling. It just is not. Design starts way before. That's why I find it so important to talk about it to people who are not designers, because basically design means process, design means planning mostly. That's where it all starts from. And with marketing, you also need to present. It is also about presentation, but it's about a frame of mind as well. So to me, it starts from the planning. And then from the planning, it can go into the way things look. But these days, especially if you're working in a digital environment, creating a product that can be an app or a website or whatever, or another type of digital product, then you do need to take certain things into consideration, such for instance, accessibility. Accessibility is an imperative. And design, you make things accessible via good design. So this is another way in which good design is good marketing. And actually, since we're talking about this, the example that I make at the agency, that I made at, in the Agency Transformation Live talk, is that Apple in the 70s had a terrible logo that was the opposite of what they were trying to be, who they were trying to be. And it's since they made the change to a new logo that the company completely changed. So it goes way beyond a simple question of style. In fact, now Apple have gone completely in the wrong direction now, in my opinion, and they are focusing on style way more than they are focusing on user experience and accessibility. But maybe not, let's not go down that particular rabbit hole right now. And I have a tendency to digress, so I'll leave it. But yes, basically, that's my main mission, because the point is that I know that there are a lot of sales pages out there that look terrible, but they sell. But my point is, maybe they would sell so much more if they weren't that terrible. Do you know what I mean? If they make you, do you know that maybe you are leaving money on the table because your page is not accessible, because it's badly laid out, because it's very difficult to read, because it doesn't have a clear flow, and so on.
Yep.
So I think I really want for all of us to work together to create a better web. That is basically my mission.
That's great.
Lofty word again.
Yeah, that lofty word, mission. There's a thing about this. I've mentioned this before on the show when I've been talking to people like Matt Davis or Mike Killen in particular. This came up, which is, I think when you start talking about a mission, you start talking about something that's bigger than yourself. And, yes. We all entered entrepreneurship or our self-employment or whatever you want to call it. We all entered that because we wanted a better life for ourselves and for our families and to have more freedom and all that stuff that comes with it. But actually, I don't know what your experience is, but as time's gone on, I've found that all of that stuff's great, and it kind of becomes normal. That's part of being self-employed. And there's this drive that you have because you still want that sense of accountability or that sense of bigger purpose or whatever it is. I don't really have the words to describe it, but you end up with this drive to want to contribute back to the community that you now engage in. And you know, yours to create a better web. Absolutely. Mike Killen's was to get sales training into schools. Matt Davies talks a lot about mental health issues because that's something that's affected him in his life. And it's all about starting to give something back that isn't monetary and isn't work related necessarily, but it's just about giving something back and contributing to this better society. And because we now have these digital tools and so much of it goes online, just like our original meeting point, you know, we can connect with people around the globe and actually make a good benefit for change, a good start for change, just by connecting these things together. And I think that's really where the power of online communication particularly comes in, that we can start to make changes in lives that aren't work related, but they are making things better for people. Anyway, you talk about going off on a tangent. I've just gone down that rabbit hole.
Please tell me if you've ever listened to a podcast that doesn't go off on a tangent. It's going with territory.
Yeah, absolutely. Go and send Pitch and I a message if you do know one of those, because that's for sure.
Yeah.
Now, just in what you said though, when we were talking about accessibility, and you also mentioned user experience, I think one of the things people maybe struggle with when they start to think about the concept of design is they naturally start to think about the things that they can see and touch and feel, those tactical applications, and they don't necessarily either know or understand how to start that process before that point. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do, very well.
So what's kind of the thought process that comes behind good design?
So that's a very, very good place where to start, because it's, I am, like I said earlier, I'm a designer for print. I mainly always, and I was also a creative designer. I was a creative director. I did film posters, things like that. So I first came across user experience when I was a creative director at the British Film Institute in London, because there was a big web project and I was involved in it with a web team, and there was an external agency doing the whole user experience thing. And that's when I first came across it. So in a sort of huge team environment, but it gave me the real measure of the difference between doing what I was doing and working on a digital project, because I never thought of, I wasn't being empathic when I was creating a poster for the campaign for the Lesbian and Gay Film Festival. It wasn't what I was doing. I was obviously talking to the audience for sure, but creativity is first and foremost what you need to engage people with. That's the tool that you use to get people to engage. When you start designing digital products, then it's where user experience comes in. And that's where everything needs to start. And I know that user experience, even though it has been around for quite a while, it sounds like a buzzword or something that is done only, you know, by big teams with big budgets. But actually, it all starts from there. Because whatever you're doing, whatever you're building, whatever you're creating, be it a sales page or, you know, even a Facebook page or a Facebook group, whatever it is, you're giving the people who use it an experience. It's inevitable. So the point is that plan it, because if you don't plan it, then you can't even get the people to do what you want. So start planning it, and start also planning it people, the humans, because users is very dehumanizing word. So the humans that will use your product, have them firmly in mind. So that's what user experience actually is. It's user-centered design. But again, when I say the word design, you're all designers, because when you plan and something, do a project, you're planning it. So in a way, you are designing. You are designing an experience if you do a sales page. So I know that some designers then get all sort of riled up because they say, No, they're not designing. They're not, of course, you're not. You know, it's there's a different set of skills, but at the same time, you're also starting from user experience. And really, if you understand a little bit more about what it is and what it does, you're only going to do yourself a favor and your audiences a favor, basically, because it's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think one of the things that people miss out when they just dive into either design or when they avoid design, they come to the same conclusion, is they miss out emotion. And we can all write words and put them on a screen. We can all write words and lay them out badly on a screen. We can all have, you know, do everything in Comic Sans at 15 different point sizes and, you know, get it on a Word document and print it, or on a web page in WordPress, whatever it might be. But actually, by simply diving straight into the tactics, you've missed out that emotion. What is it that you want to invoke with the customer or the human? I nearly said the user, the human. And then likewise, what action is it you want them to take? Particularly if they've gone and read, I don't know, 500, 600, 700 words of sales copy, whatever it might be. If they get to the bottom and there's no call to action, you know, what do you expect them to do? I think really that there is a massive influence that needs to come from that emotive process, and it's not always doesn't always seem like the most obvious place to start, but by God, you can tell design where it's been missed.
Absolutely. Exactly. And the thing is, you know, by talking about emotions, you're hitting the nail on the head, because what user-centered design starts from is empathy. Hmm. Empathy, and learning and understanding what empathy really is, which isn't just simply thinking, oh, I think I know. No, you need to really put yourself in the shoes of the people that you want to reach and actually walk a few miles in them, and always be aware of the fact that you're never going to know exactly. You're never going to know exactly. And that's a sort of an overlap, because there's lots of overlaps between marketing, user experience, branding, and design, and design in general. There's lots of overlaps. And this is one of them, in the sense that, you know, in marketing, you teach me for sure, but you always tweak, don't you? You, based on the data that you get, you tweak your results. And that's what user experience does. And that's also another reason why I like the process so much, because it focuses less on delivering a perfect product, which you don't do. It's better if you deploy a product that's good enough, but not perfect, because until you have people actually using it, you're not going to know what they're going to do with it. They may do something completely different, and you need to understand that. And also that sometimes maybe they don't want to do what you want them to do, so you have to give them options. And when you start looking at things this way, it really, really changes the way you actually see the world. And when you start looking at the world in terms of user experience, it changes your perspective hugely. And that's one of the nicest compliments that I've received about the UX, the free UX course that I've had out for a while. So I think it was actually Kyle who said that it made him, that he was a bit skeptical, not maybe it's a bit strong word, but anyway, he was curious to see what he, because he's been working in design for so long, he was curious about whether this course would actually give him anything new, honestly. Yep. And he said that was his biggest surprise, that it absolutely did, that he gave him a new lens to see things through. And it doesn't limit itself to design. It's about the whole world, because user experience is not just about what's on the page. It's about how you connect with your customers in every single way. So yep. Mostly we have online businesses, but there's always a certain amount of interaction that goes offline or could go offline. But, you know, I'm saying even your emails are a user experience. The way you deal with your clients after they sign up to one of your products, whether you send them a card at home thanking them for having bought your product, all these things are all user experience. And even, you know, in a shop, that's, you know, that's user experience. It's always, it's just so funny how many examples I find these days, and how, you know, and actually, because also one thing that you said, which is so important, that's why we should always all really work together, because you were saying that marketers normally focus on copy, and copy is a huge part of UX. There was a great talk at WordCamp London by Andrea Zollner, who's the chief content creator for SiteGround. Mm-hmm. And she was talking about the UX of copy and how consistency of message, of everything is important in copy, and many aspects of the UX of copy. And she's been on one of my, I've interviewed her, one of my video interviews, and it was such a great conversation. And just the other day, it happened to me, because I downloaded an app called Drivey that lets you hire private cars rather than going through a rental place. And that's, it was easier for me. It's not actually not that much cheaper, but it's just someone that was my next road. So it was so much easier than having to go to the train station or whatever. And they ask, when they ask for your details, you have to put in the your driving license number, and it says valid from. And then it does explain in very, very tiny, super tiny font and a very pale gray, it says where you find the valid from on your license. But the thing is that on the front of the license, valid from is the day it was issued. Mine was issued in 2017 because I moved to Spain. My UK license expired. So when they issue a new license, it says valid from. So I put valid from. And they said, they got back to me and said, yeah, sorry, you can't rent a car because you haven't had a license for 2 years. And I was like, I got my license in 87. I am old. What do you mean? I can't hire a car. Are you crazy? So I got in touch with them, and someone said, well, basically they didn't explain it very well, but they basically, I realized that what they meant is that it was the issued date issued, which is on the back. And then right. I was like, okay, fine. So that worked, but I was right. Valid from is what yep. is on the front of the license. And that's user experience. And I had, you know, I could have just gone, oh, you know, bug this. I'm just going to go to the rental place that always gives me a car with no problem. Do you know what I mean? So it's tiny things like this. And when you start looking at things like that, it's always like, ah, bad UX, great UX, bad UX, could be better UX, nice UX. It's just, it's extraordinary how it changes things for you. And I had to learn it because I didn't know about it. I was, you know, I was a designer for print, so I needed to understand.
Yeah, absolutely. And you, well, just sort of moving into that, I mean, you've gone and you've already mentioned the free course that you've got about UX, and you're just in the process of launching the pre-sale, aren't you, for your paid course on UX?
Yeah.
So do you want to just, I was going to come back to this at the end, but as we sort of stumbled across it, do you just want to, do you just want to give us a sort of quick breakdown as to what that course is about?
Sure. So it's the mini course that I'd created, which is now half of it is free, but even if you do just half, it already gives you a framework, but basically that's a basic framework that you can take. So there's actually two courses, one big course and one mini course. The mini course, if you do that, you're really on a very good, you know, solid footing already. Mm-hmm. And with the bigger course, people were asking me, giving me great feedback about the free course, but also saying, I would like to find out more about this, that, and this other thing. Especially researching users, for instance, and one thing that's come up a lot, and other things. But basically the philosophy behind it is that UX is for everyone. That's what the title of the course is. It's UX for everyone. And it's not just something that big teams, big agencies with big money do, or it can be and should and must be a process that belongs, that can be adopted by all of us. And I think especially for marketers and any content creators, having a UX process is essential, because in the UX process, you actually get, when you get to the user interface part very late on, and it actually makes it very quick, super, super fast, because you've done all the research before. So the research that you do for the UX process, you can apply to branding, you can apply to marketing, you can apply it to everything. And it's actually, it's a process that you can then, it sets up a system. It's a way of running your business in a way. It's so interesting the way that the various things overlap and make complete sense. So that's also one of the, you know, the sort of selling points of the longer course, because what I'm saying is this will give you a framework that you can sell to your clients as an add-on, as well as giving you a framework that will actually speed things up. It will make the design phase, if you're a web designer, but also if you're a marketer, because when you do sales pages, you design them.
Yep.
And you have to, you know, whether you use a designer or not, you are designing them. So it's an incredibly valuable process, and I want to demystify the myth that it's only for big people. In fact, I think that the people that would benefit more from it are precisely freelance, solopreneurs and small agencies, definitely.
You know, we were laughing just on the call before this, because of course my course is called Demystifying SEO, and yours is the first one I've come across where you've used the same word. So we hit the nail on that one as well. The thing that strikes me, because I mean, there's a module on it in the SEO course, and I know you cover it in the UX course as well. The key to unlocking a lot of these different things, and really the crux to getting this right, is about understanding your customer, isn't it? You're the human, I nearly said user again, the human at the other end that you are trying to reach. Because once you put it so eloquently about spending, walking a few miles in their shoes, once you understand who that person or those people are, that, you know, a lot of companies maybe have three or four buyer personas, if you want to use that term for them. When you understand who those people are, then it does make so much of your design, your marketing, your copywriting, your business process, your operations, your pricing, everything else kind of hangs on to it, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it makes it so much easier to actually create things, because you know who you're creating them for. And to me, the free UX mini course that I did, it was such a great experience, because it was so nice to see that people were coming back to me and saying, you gave me what I needed, because I was like, oh my God. So maybe, because I have spent the past year talking to my audience, and now that means that I understand them, which is super nice. But it goes back to the empathy thing, and I'm gonna stress that again, because even though the UX process has various phases, so I'll just say quickly how I've condensed it. There's a lot of UX courses. There are lots of brilliant UX courses out there, but they, apart from a few which I'm very happy to mention because I took them and I think they're great, but they mostly focus on making you a UX professional that can then work in a team, you know, a big team. And that's slightly what's lacking. So that's the sort of gap that where I fit, where the course that I'm creating fits, because it's about having a process as a team of one. So the process starts from research, then goes into design, which is actually planning. It's not so much designing. And then it goes into testing. These are the three main phases. But the main point is that the testing then becomes optimizing, because my philosophy is to launch with an imperfect product, because until you ask people what they want and see what they're actually doing with it, you can't actually know if you've done it right or not. So you just tweak and optimize. So which is another thing that we need to educate clients to. They need to understand that they don't get a product that's finished, they get a product that we keep making better. So they can spend less money at the beginning and keep investing. But once they start seeing the results, it's much easier for them to understand that it's an investment rather than a cost. Back to empathy. Empathy is, so the research, even if it's three parts, The research part, to me, is the longest one. Also, it's not a linear process. You go back in between phases. You don't end in one point and then that's it. No, you keep going back. And the research should really last as long as it can, because it's what is essential and what's going to make everything much quicker. And it's the empathy bit. And I just want to give you a few examples about empathy, because it's such a big thing to understand and make yours and really, really absorb. It's there's a wonderful talk by Morten Rand Harrickson, who many of you maybe know. He's a WordPress instructor. On lynda.com, his website is, his blog is more and then 1010.com, and he's a great human being. And there was a talk by him on empathy at WordCamp Europe 2016, which is all on empathy. And he basically says, put yourself in people's shoes, but most of all, understand that you cannot ever understand what it's like to be them. That's, you know, the most important thing. And then there's another fantastic talk by Eric A. Meyer, who's a WordPress person, but also a general CSS person. And he, his talk, I think it was a WordCamp US, I'll find it anyway. And he talks about his experience, which is harrowing. He was talking about when it was Christmas and his daughter had died of, his six-year-old daughter had died of cancer a couple of months before. Wow. And he was going through his Facebook timeline and suddenly Facebook gives him the whole your year in review thing, which had balloons and you know, and trumpets and all sorts of, you know, stars and so on, with all the photos of his daughter. And, you know, I leave it to you to imagine. I mean, it makes my hair stand, you know, just stand on end, just imagining. And he was actually instrumental in getting Facebook to stop doing that without asking for permission. So that's bad user experience, because they didn't think long enough about the fact that not all their users are, you know, have just had, you know, been to a bachelorette party. Now, there's anything wrong with that, but there's also different types of experience that people go through, and then maybe that's not quite what you should be doing. So, and such a, the whole talk then talks about that, and he talks about the concrete, you know, he gives concrete examples of user experience and how to use empathy in real life situations. Because even though we think that everything is online, it's not, because even when you sell something, the person at the other end is a person. They're using a computer, but they're not digital, they're real. So if they maybe struggle with your form, or if they can't read your copy, or if they go down a dead end because you haven't thought they flow through, they're having a bad experience, but they're having it in real life. So again, you know, he was having a real life experience when Facebook gave him that really inappropriate timeline review celebrating his daughter's death. So these are two, they're amazing talks. They're not even that long, and I really recommend anyone to watch them who's interested in being, well, a better person, first of all, but actually in serving your own customers better. You know, whatever you do, I don't care if you never take a UX course after that, I don't mind, you know, whatever you want to do, but watch those two talks, because they are amazing. They're really, really brilliant and moving and just wonderful.
I'll see if I can find links to them, and we'll drop them in the show notes. So there'll be a...
I have them in my...
Fantastic. So we'll get those in the show notes. So if you listen to the intro outro, it'll tell you exactly where the show notes are, or in your podcast player, and there'll be a link straight in there. I think there's two things really that highlights for me. The first is that as marketers that go into businesses, we are given a responsibility to treat not only our customers correctly, but also the customers of our customers correctly. You know, most of the people that are listening to this will work in some capacity with other businesses. So we do have that is a responsibility that we don't necessarily take serious enough sometimes. I don't want to get hung up on it and make it a heavy thing, but you do need to acknowledge that it's there. And the second thing that that highlights to me is that there's so much of what we do when we go into our clients and we are working on their businesses or on our own, where actually by having this mentality, you can essentially bring so much more added value to the work that you're doing. A lot of the work we do, and I know it's the same with a lot of our listeners, you know, you will win a contract which isn't to do all marketing for a company, but it is to go in and, I don't know, copyright some news articles or write some blogs or design a landing page or whatever it might be. And these things can then start to, by having these things in your peripheral vision, you start to add those layers of value on and set yourself out to be the expert in this area. And I think that's invaluable to your own business development as well.
Exactly. That's the whole point. And that's really what the course is aims to do, to give people, to give you a process that you can actually productize and sell to your own clients, but that will firmly place you as the expert in that area. And whatever you do, it starts from the people, it starts from empathy. So whatever your role is, if you're a marketer or a copywriter and so on, that's what you need to do, basically. Yep. Start from there and you'll be fine. Yeah. And there's so much to talk about on the subject of empathy, because then it very quickly goes into accessibility. Because every single conference that I've been at recently in the past year has had one, two, or three talks on accessibility. And a lot of them make the business case for accessibility. And accessibility is a big, big, big UX point. So accessibility means that you design for everyone. And designing for everyone often means that you need design, I don't want to say lower, but you design, you really make things as easy as possible and you really exercise empathy. The granddaddy of UX is Don Norman, who was the first one who created UX roles at Apple. He was, I don't know, UX architect. I can't remember exactly what his job role was, but he was the main UX person at Apple in the, I think, mid to late 90s. And then he left and created the Nielsen Norman Institute, which is a UX institute. And he's now 83 and he's very active. But he finds the today's world really hard to navigate, because even if you're active and healthy at 83, your body has deteriorated. There are functions that you can't perform as well as used to. And he's say, and this portion of population is only set to rise, because in the Western world, we're very lucky. Our lives last quite a long time now. So he was saying, why are you making things so difficult for me? There are so many of me, and my life is much harder because people are not designing things, thinking that you're designing for a default that is way too difficult to reach for many people. Well, you're a parent. When you're a parent, there's a time, there's a long period of time when you are basically impaired, because you'll have just one hand as you hold the child. You know, it's things like this. So you'd be half deaf and you'll need headphones, you know, do you know what I mean? Or you need subtitles because you can't hear things. Or there's so UX and accessibility go hand in hand. Yep. And accessibility is a legal requirement and it needs to be a part of marketing as well.
I completely agree. And it's one of those things that it's so often pushed to right to the end, or it's one of those things that's only really considered when you're doing something like a web design project, where you've got a somebody says, no, we need to change this, and now we're going to do something big. So because we're doing something big, we need to think about empathy, we need to think about accessibility, we need to think about all these different things. Actually, no, it starts from the ground up, doesn't it? You can start being accessible and empathizing with the audience in the work that you are doing today, right now, for whoever you're doing it for, be it your employer, a client, or yourself. You can start that process right now. And actually, over a period of time of that mentality, you will start seeing the benefits, reaping the rewards of thinking that way. But I have a very similar discussion with a lot of people when it comes to SEO. And because in this world where everything is online and everything's instant, there's this misconception that, well, it must be easy because it happens so quickly. But actually, SEO is a long time game. It's a long time play. And it's the same with this kind of, ultimately, it's brand building. That's what you're doing. It's the same with this. It's not something that you can just apply to your website and say, yes, we've done that, box ticked, thank you. It is a means of thinking. It's a way of doing things. It's something that you're constantly have in the back of your mind so that everything you push out follows that kind of structure, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, good design and good UX and good SEO again go hand in hand, because good SEO, good design, good UX means also things like speed, for instance. And speed is very important for SEO. And now Google is ranking you also in terms of how long people spend on your website. That's if a badly designed website, people don't spend too long on, because they are finding it. So there's a lot of, literature. Obviously I'm researching all these things, and on the direct correlation between things that are well designed and things that are successful and that work. And for SEO is a very, very good example of that, because with SEO, you need to start from the beginning, you need to structure things correctly, and it's a long game. And that's the same, it's exactly the same thing from UX. You have to start from the beginning, you have to structure it well, and it's a long game. It's a long-term investment. And it's, I don't know if you find that, but I think that there are a lot of clients that struggle to understand that. They think that once they do their website, it's one big lump investment, and they don't understand that it needs to be the opposite. So the system that I propose is the opposite. It's to start small and then keep building, because also if you make a big mistake, it's much more difficult to correct if you've already invested $5,000 or $10,000 or $20,000 in the product. So if you instead start, deploy a small part and then tweak it, and then keep building on top of all that, it's much easier to make it work. And I'm sure that it works the same with SEO, rather than doing something huge. I don't know if you read actually in the news, it was Accenture, the huge.
Yep.
They're a project managed company, but I've found out that they do digital projects as well. Mm. I don't know if you came across this, but it was a major, major fail. They were redoing Hertz, the car rental company.
Yeah.
They were redoing their website, and it was a massive, massive, massive fail. And now Hertz are suing them to the tune of $32 million. Now, apparently, Accenture charged Hertz $32 million. And is such a typical example of a project that started so big and no one was able to correct it because it was so big. It was such a huge monster that it just wasn't possible. And they were doing things like, you can't, if to have the tablet version, you're going to have to pay another $500,000. Seriously, that's what, And that's, it's crazy. So I'm never going to have a project as big as that. And I wouldn't want it. I wouldn't touch it with a barge pole. I wouldn't want to be in a team like that, because I'm thinking of the poor designers and people who are working in that. They were probably telling, the really high management, they were saying, no, you shouldn't be doing that. And and then in the end, it's such a typical example of, basically it's a very extreme example, but it's an example of something that wasn't properly planned at the beginning, was meant to be delivered in one go. And when it started failing, no one was able to stop it from failing. And so that's why smaller people have the edge. It's better for us to be small sometimes, I think. And it's the agility of a small team is a great thing to have, I think.
Yeah, that picks up on a number of things that I was talking to Philip Van Dusen about a few episodes ago, which again was something we mentioned before we hit record. And you know, so if you want to go, he was episode 50. So if you do want to go and check out Philip's talk, episode 50 is where he's at. So Pitcher, thank you so much for your time. Do you want to just drop in, where is the best places for people to find you if they want to connect with you online?
Now, the Facebook group, Design for Geeks, is a great place to connect. And really, there's all sorts of people in there. And we talk about these things every day. And I do a lot of activities in there. So please join that. That would be great. And then the designforgeeks.com website is also where a lot of the action takes place. I have a video podcast. I don't know if it's called a vlog, but it's anyway. Which is on YouTube, but it's also on the website. Yep. And that's also where the pre-sale course offer is for those of you who are interested. So these two main places, the Facebook group, Design for Geeks, and the website, designforgeeks.com.
Fantastic. Thank you, Pitcher, so much for your time. I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been such a pleasure.
No problem at all. See you soon. It was so good to have Pitcher back on the show. Show notes for this episode can be found at peteeverett.com/060. And if you are interested in signing up to Pitcher's new course, then you can find details at peteeverett.com/UX for everyone. That's UX, F-O-R, then the word everyone. It will forward you straight on and you can get all the information that you need at that point. Next week, we have a fantastic episode with my brilliant friend, Mr. Lee Jackson, who got a shout out in this episode, and it's a really great chat. So I'll see you next week.